following is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, featuring the teaching of Pastor Alan Rogers. In the Metro Chattanooga area, we invite you to be our guest at any of our weekly worship services or visit us online at newsalembaptists.net.
It's our pleasure to have with us this morning Dr. Frick. Dr. Frick, you come and give us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
It's great to be here with you this morning. I wish it was under different circumstances, but one of the advantages of being a retired pastor is that you get the opportunity to speak in different churches, and I've been here several times. Maybe this is my fourth time now. I'm not sure, but I got a text from Alan yesterday, and it says, I just was diagnosed with COVID. Are you available tomorrow? And I said, yes, I am. So I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. And as you're turning, as I said, I'm a retired pastor. I now help over at Dallas Bay with their disaster relief. And also I'm the new assistant director of disaster relief for our Hamilton County Baptist Association. I asked Doyle the other day, well, is there something you need me to do? He says, nothing. And I said, well, that's the type of job I like. You know, you get a title, but there isn't anything you really have to do. But he'll find something for me to do. I just know he will. So we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 40. Yesterday, I picked a different text and a different sermon. And I woke up this morning and the Lord said, you're going to be doing something else. So, what I take from that is that there are one or several people here this morning that need to hear this message. That's the only conclusion I can come up with. So, it's entitled Waiting on God, Isaiah chapter 40. The historical context of this passage is that the people of Israel have been sent in exile to Babylon. And they are there because of their disobedience. And because of their disobedience, God has brought this time of punishment, but also a time of renewal for them. So we're picking up here at the end of chapter 40, where the prophet Isaiah has actually speaking for God. And what he's doing is God has told him, I know what people are saying about me. I know what people are saying about their circumstances. And I want you to speak on my behalf and respond to their doubts and to their concerns and to their questions. So as God is speaking through Isaiah, Isaiah writes, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, dear God, how thankful I am that we have your holy word, which encourages us in times of difficulty. I'm thankful that your holy word speaks truth to us, that your word allows us to hear your voice in a world where there's so many voices, and these voices are telling us falsehoods and lies, but your word is truth. So, Lord, I pray that today that people would not only hear with their ears, but hear with their hearts the message that you have for all of us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to make an obvious statement that waiting is no fun. And Most people that I know do not go to a store, let's say the grocery store or one of the big box stores, and they're seeing the lines either with cashiers or with self-service, and they go, oh, that's the longest line. That's the one I want to be in. No one does that. And it's interesting that in many places there are these things called waiting rooms. Waiting rooms. Now, Wednesday, I had the opportunity to have eye surgery. You may be thinking, oh, I tell people that. They go, oh, my goodness. So I went in there. I have glaucoma, and I've been controlling this with eye drops, but there's a new laser surgery out that my doctor is using on his patients. So I get there, I check in, they call me back, Mr. Frick, and I go back in there, and they put a couple of drops in my eye. They said, well, now go out to the waiting room, and he'll call you back here in a few minutes. So there was a reason for the waiting, because the drops had to have their time to impact the pressure in my eye before he lasered my eye. So then they call me back in, and they put some more drops in. And then they had to adjust the machine and everything. And it took 2.5 seconds for that laser to do its work. It used to be 2 minutes. Now it's 2.5 seconds. And so they said, here's a prescription. Keep it, because in 2 weeks you'll be coming for the other eye, and you'll need those drops. So I said, no restrictions. They said, no restrictions. The old surgery, there were restrictions. So I thought, wow, that's really neat. And I got to leave the building. I would ask you the question this morning, are you in God's waiting room? Are you in God's waiting room? Because it's quite possible that God has a purpose to make your life better, but you're going to have to do a little bit of waiting. I've learned some really good lessons in the past month, because I'm a type A. You know, I like to have my plan, and God has shown me several times that I was worrying for nothing. So that's my first point, that life is messy. And if you say, well, what's your text for that? Well, here's the whole Bible. I mean, life is messy. And I help at Dallas Bay with their pastoral counseling. I not only have my theological training, but I got a master's in counseling. And I'm going to tell you something. As 43 years as a pastor, and now working almost 2.5 years now as a counselor there on staff, I can tell you that, and also don't let me forget disaster relief chaplain. There is a lot of pain and trauma in this world, and almost all of the research and reading that I'm doing these days is on trauma, because just about everybody I talk to these days is going through some type of trauma or disaster. And the fact is that some people, the pain that they're experiencing in life, you know, they didn't choose to be where that hurricane hit. They didn't choose to be where that tornado hit. They didn't choose to be where that flood hit. And we also know there are people that they have made bad choices, and so their life is a disaster. And so regardless whether it's something that happens to you or something that you did like Israel and made it happen, the fact is God still cares about you. And I like to remind people that from the standpoint of the Bible, God made a perfect world. He made Adam and Eve, put them in a perfect garden in paradise. And yet, because of their bad decision, all of this pain and tragedy has been unleashed on not only the human race, but the whole world and even the whole universe. You know, we can blame it on them, but I've never had anyone tell me, hey, Pastor Paul, if God had put me in the Garden of Eden, that would have never happened. I wouldn't have made that mistake. Probably would have made another mistake. But no one has said they would have done better than Adam and Eve. So we live in this world where life is so messy. And in the midst of their exile and in their captivity, the people of Israel have been talking to one another and perhaps even praying to God. And you see the quotations there in your Bible in verse 27. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Why is this happening? So, they seem to have forgotten that, they worship Baal. They seem to have forgotten that they oppress the poor. They seem to have forgotten that they had ignored the ritual sacrifices that they should have made. They seem to ignore the fact that they brought blemished animals to the temple in Jerusalem. But yet they're complaining. And isn't that kind of the way humans are? We somehow, we have perpetrated a sin, or we've done wrong, but somehow we're the victim. And the world in which we live wants to talk about, you're born this way. But the fact is that we make choices that have brought terrible pain upon ourselves and those around us. So Jacob, Israel, still talking about the nation of Israel, just different names. God is saying through the prophet, have you not known, have you not heard the Lord is the everlasting God? They need to be reminded in a theological lesson about who God really is. They're complaining about, my way is hidden from God, as if somehow God didn't know what they were going through. I mean, when I was a child, maybe you did this. I thought, I get in my closet, God can't see me. And a lot of adults are like that. They think, God isn't going to know or understand exactly what I'm going through. They even have this idea of going to a court. My right is disregarded by my God. It's almost, they're saying, God's forgotten my case. File the lawsuit against God, God's forgotten to answer it. Well, these are questions that have gone back through really all of human history. Why is there suffering? Why are there problems? Why is life messy? And a lot of times the problem is our expectations of God. The reason we have the Bible is to show us the way to God, to help us to understand salvation, help us to understand sin, and also to help us to realize that the God in our minds that we create is not the God who exists, who is real. And I believe it was John Calvin that said that mankind is an idol maker. And so we have a tendency to, we have God, we think God ought to be doing these things the way we think he ought to. God ought to be handling the universe the way we think he ought to. And so what I want to point out is that God is able to handle your anger, your hurt, your trauma, your case, if you will, against him, because God loves us so much that he'll hear our anger and he won't reject us. And I've got this quotation. The author is me. Life is an engineered sequence of events designed to make our faith stronger. Life is an engineered sequence of events designed to make our faith stronger. I look at events in my life, choices that are made, and I can look back now that I'm the ripe old age of 70, and I can say, although I would have liked that to have been different, and I maybe would have made a different choice, I see why God led me in that way, and I see why I was in that place, in that situation at that time. And you can't do better than God, my friends. We also need to remember what Jesus said in John chapter 16. He told his disciples, in the world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. And so we need to be reminded of that. We need to remember that. So we need to just recognize that God is always seeking to comfort us and encourage us, but are we listening to his voice? So the prophet Isaiah is telling the people, you need to remember who God is. He's the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth, and he understands this world in which he made. So think about God's infinite power. He made this universe. I have a slight interest in astronomy. I have two telescopes, and it'd be good if I ever got them out every once in a while. I haven't done it in a while, but I love to read about astronomy. I love to watch shows on TV that talk about astronomy and show all these great pictures that we have from the Hubble telescope. And it's just fascinating to think about, how vast this universe is. Now, when you listen to those programs, you got to ignore about the billions of years because they've got the timeline wrong. But anyway, you can just kind of, filter that out as you're listening to it. But the fact is that God's knowledge is so wonderful because, he knows how things would have turned out or could have turned out with different decisions that we could make or would have made in our lives. And he steers us and engineers us to where he needs us to be. He knows all the possibilities and he has the best plan for our lives. We also need to remember that God's knowledge is a loving knowledge, that his will is a loving will, and that he wants what is best for us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we have two verses that people talk about many times because here again, the people of Israel are in exile. And Jeremiah writes a letter to the exiles to encourage them. This is what he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." And a lot of people stop there. But look at what verse 12 says. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." We're reminded in John chapter 3, verse 16, how much God loves us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us, that we might have eternal life. And my prayer is that all of you who are listening here in the auditorium or perhaps listening online, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would turn your life over to him. I was 8 and a half when I turned my life over to him. And I'm thankful that I made that decision because I can look back on my life and I can see God's loving hand guiding and directing me. We need to be reminded from time to time who's in charge of the universe. So the prophet Isaiah, he also wants to point out some facts about God, about how waiting on God is an act of faith. And it points out, God does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Some of you may even have that on a poster. I've seen that in different places. It's a great verse to be reminded about. It's great to be reminded that God can refill our spiritual gas tanks. It's good to know that the people of Israel, even though they had sinned against God and were in exile, that God had not forsaken them. God still loved them. This was a time of punishment. This is a time of learning for them. This is a time for them to be in God's waiting room, so that then they'd be ready for God to bless them, to strengthen them, and to encourage them. I love that part of this passage that talks about how in some translations mount up with wings like eagles. And it actually, according to the footnotes and the commentaries, sprout wings like eagles. In other words, you're going to have power that you didn't have before. You're going to have victory over things you never had before. And I've seen this in my life time and time and time again. I had a pastor talking to me one day, not from around here, just wanted to clarify that. But he had gone through a difficult time in a previous church, and he knew I had been through a difficult time in a previous church, so he, well, how do you handle that? And I said, well, number one, I remembered and would always be grounded in the calling that I had to be a pastor and to be a minister of God. That was number one. And number two, I said, every place that I went, God just, it was like he parted the waters. And, you know, I remember the days when houses would sit on the market for, I don't know, 2 months. It's starting to happen again right now, isn't it, because of the way things are going. But whenever we moved, my wife would always find a job pretty quickly. Our house would sell wherever we had to sell, and we would find a house pretty quickly wherever we went. And even when I retired, my wife retired, and we moved here to Hickson, we were looking for a house in 2021 when the market was so volatile. And I mean, you would look on Zillow, and the house would be gone within 48 hours. And my wife and I made a very strategic decision. We were not going to buy a home just through the pictures on the internet. Because we saw the pictures of our house. It's like, is that our house? You know. And we even looked at one house that had a contract on it. And the picture on the internet didn't show this big hill you're going to have to go up in February with the freezing rain you get in Chattanooga. And so there was just things you don't see by looking at Zillow. But we were looking for a house, and we could only go in Joellen's fall break. And we got the last lot on a dead-end street in Baldwin Park, not too far from here. And we love our home, and we love the location. I love the small yard. And God just, with every move, he just opened the way. And so it was like we flew over all the problems that people were having trying to find a house. We flew over all the problems trying to sell a house. We flew over all the problems of trying to find my wife a job. And, you know, it wasn't because of us. It was because of God. And so what we have to be reminded about is that when we're discouraged, that we can renew our strength in God. And I love this passage from Galatians chapter 6. And let's remember that, you know, in the early church, they had the Apostle Paul, they had the Apostle John, they had Peter. You had all these people that had seen Jesus. You had all these people that had seen the resurrected Jesus. But look what it says in verse 9, Galatians chapter 6 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good." Wait a minute. You know, you're just a few, you know, just a couple of decades out from the resurrection, and people are already getting discouraged. Let me tell you something. Satan, if he can't have your soul, he's going to try to have your enthusiasm. Amen? Because let me tell you something, every discouraged Christian is a Christian that Satan's been able to put on the sidelines. You're not in the game, you're on the bench. Or you might be even be in the locker room where they're x-raying you. You know, you're not in the game. So discouragement is one of Satan's biggest tools and distraction, like we heard about in the song about the dusty Bible. I love that song. And let us not grow weary of doing good, but for in due season, it says we will. It doesn't say we might, it's possible. We will reap. What if we do not give up? So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so, friends, if this morning you're discouraged, just know that God is on your side. You're in God's waiting room, but God is doing this to bring healing and strength and direction to your life. We saw this great video on the cooperative program, and as most of you know, my older son is one of our Southern Baptist missionaries. So Lottie Moon and C Cooperative Program, they help a lot. But one of the things that also, it was a great service to the convention back in the 80s, was there was a church program training center, and it was a part of the Sunday School Board, which then became Lifeway. And I would go and take continuing education there. And I took a long-range planning seminar there back in March of 1986. And our instructor would have different people come in and do devotions with us. And one day, Fred McGehee came in, and he told us a story. The story is about Bill. And Bill worked as a chaplain in a mental hospital. And one of the patients on his floor was a young man named Jimmy. Jimmy lived in a room by himself. He sat curled up with his arms wrapped around his legs. He was in a catatonic state, is what they call it. His face was not human, but rather almost like a statue. And so Bill, the chaplain, asked, "Can I go in and speak with Jimmy?" And they said, "Sure." He says, "Well, he just doesn't talk to anybody." So Jimmy apparently was so scarred emotionally that he just cut himself off from the outside world. So Bill went in and he tried to talk to Jimmy, and Jimmy would never respond. So Jimmy thought, okay, I'm going to talk to, Bill said, "I'm going to talk to Jimmy about what's going on." So he would say, "Hey, Jimmy, it's raining outside," or "Hey, Jimmy, it's beautiful outside," or "It's snowing outside." Still no response. So then one day, Bill was so discouraged that he went into Jimmy's room, sat down on the floor, pulled his arms up into his chest, hugging his arms, and he started crying. After a few minutes of him sitting on the floor next to Jimmy, crying, Jimmy spoke. For the first time in months. And this is what Jimmy said. "Bill, I want you to write a letter for me that I should have written a long time ago." This is what the letter said. "Dear Mom and Dad, I met a friend and I think he likes me. Signed, Jimmy." There are times that because of our pain, we curl ourselves up in a ball. We cut ourselves off from God, other people. And yet God is still seeking to reach out to us. He's trying to let us know He loves us. He has a plan for our lives, one to prosper us and not to harm us. That He has great joy ahead for us. And that just because we're in God's waiting room, we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to think that God doesn't love us. We just need to remember that He cares about us. And all we have to do is know that when we reach out to Him, He will hear our prayers and He will show us a great future.
This program is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church. Music courtesy of Jason Shaw at audionautics.com. If you enjoy this program, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@newsalembaptist.net. Thank you for listening.